Hello and welcome to Global Focus. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. In South Africa, it's estimated that a woman is raped every 26 seconds. And in Diepsloot, an informal settlement north of Johannesburg, gender-based violence is more than double the rate of the rest of the country. Today we're talking to Lawyers Against Abuse, a nonprofit organization in Diepsloot that works to combat gender-based violence by providing free legal and emotional support to victims of abuse. Lindsay Henson is the executive director of LVA, and she explains how this project helps victims of rape, domestic violence, and child abuse on a daily basis.
Lawyers Against Abuse, we call it LVA. So the LVA model was always a community-based model that we would focus specifically in a single community. And when we were looking for a particular community to launch our pilot center in, the things that we were looking for were a high prevalence rate of gender-based violence, a need for our services. We certainly didn't want to be duplicating any good work that was already being done. And also an existing service provision network that we could then try and plug into in order to offer holistic services. And so then we had an opportunity to come into Diepsloot. And in our first few months there, we did a needs assessment that revealed incredibly high rates of gender-based violence in the community, even higher than just the average rates that we see throughout South Africa, as well as just a complete gap in terms of the types of services that LVA would provide for victims of violence. For us, it seemed to tick all of those boxes in terms of the kind of community that we were looking to start our work in.
There's seemingly a lot of coverage of gender-based violence in South Africa when it results in an extremely violent death. Mm-hmm. And recently we've heard of Karabo Mokoena, who was burnt to death. But does this desensitize people? I mean, that it hits the news and then it leaves?
I don't know that I'd say that it desensitizes people. What I would say is that, I mean, you're absolutely right in terms of when there's something particularly horrific or particularly graphic, then there's going to be a big buzz around it, a lot of media coverage. And media begets media. And so then when Karabo's story first broke, then all of these other stories started coming out as well. And a lot of people were interpreting that then as now all of a sudden that there's a spike in this kind of violence. And what we were saying is there isn't a spike. It's just that the media is now paying attention to it. The violence is there all along at the same level happening everywhere all the time. And it's just that it's not the sexy topic. It's not what everybody is talking about. And so what we've seen, even just in the course of our work over the past several years, is there's these waves, right? So something will happen. There'll be a spike. It'll be all anyone is talking about. And then, you know, you'll have politicians coming out and they'll be making great statements about our commitment to helping victims of violence and supporting them and this change and prevention and, you know, men standing against violence and all of those things, which are great. But then again, the conversation then dies down. And South Africa actually has what's called the 16 days of activism, no violence against women. And it's 16 days every year in November and December, where there's all sorts of campaigns and marches and politicians making speeches. But again, a lot of the organizations that are working like LVA in the trenches every day can push back against this idea because it's not that we need to pay attention to this 16 days a year. It's that this is something that needs to be the topic of conversation every day of the year until it's addressed.
But in your experience, why does this regularly happen in South Africa, or why do we hear about this in South Africa?
You know, one of the things that's particular about working in South Africa, I mean, I've done work, you know, gender-based violence work in other countries as well. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's quite unique about this context is you have incredibly progressive laws and legislation and policies around gender-based violence. The legislation is there, the structure is there. It's very comprehensive. It's very progressive. It's very victim-centric, and it includes a lot of provisions and protections for women. And yet, the way, you know, and I'll always say this, the way that the law is written is very different than the way that it's experienced by a real victim of violence. And especially so if that victim is a poor Black woman from a township or an informal settlement area where there aren't resources, there isn't the service delivery that you would expect somewhere else. And so you have these great laws, while at the same time you have these incredibly high prevalence rates. A lot of times, you know, we'll get asked the question, well, why is that? What are the things that are contributing to these high prevalence rates? And I think a lot of it comes down to existing in a patriarchal system, power imbalances, as well as gender and gender norms, and what we would consider to be harmful enactments of gender and masculinity in the way that both men and women are socialized around what is acceptable behavior within a relationship. How do you address disputes or arguments in an intimate partner setting that leads to a lot of violence? And there's also, we see in our work, just high levels of sexual entitlement, which if somebody buys you dinner, then there's this expectation now that you owe them something, right? And if you don't, then now you are not holding up your end of the bargain. I think that that can lead to something as it's a simple example, but that then breeds a culture where there is a lot of sexual harassment, there's a lot of catcalling and those sorts of things, which then ultimately escalate and build.
South Africa is lauded for its LGBT laws and its protections, but at the same time, there's a lot of anger and a lot of violence against lesbians in South Africa.
Well, I call it an implementation gap, right? That the way the law is written is not properly implemented on the ground. And there's a lot of reasons for that. That the government doesn't actually properly allocate the funds that are necessary in order to address this problem. Police stations aren't properly resourced, you know. As a result, you have officers who are overburdened, undercapacitated, working in these extreme situations, and they don't actually have the support they need, let alone there's not enough vehicles for all the police officer. You know, something as basic as that really then has a impact on victims in the way that the criminal justice system works itself out. One of the things that I think leads to a continuation of the violence is really a lack of accountability. You know, when there's basically a very low percentage chance of a consequence for your action, then perpetrators are then further emboldened in order to continue to perpetrate violence. A brilliant study was just done looking at the attrition rates of rape cases. It was originally done just in Gauteng, but now they've broadened it to look at cases across the country. And the official results haven't been released yet, but you know, they looked at 4,000 cases, and of those, there were only arrests made in 50% of them, and in only 18% of them did the case actually go to trial, and there was only a conviction in 8% of those cases. And so, I mean, if that's your experience of the justice system and that's your perception of the justice system, then why would you bother to even report your case in the first place, right? And so you have this culture of impunity where there's no accountability for people's actions. I think that that is a huge contributing factor to the, like I said, the continuation of the high, you know, prevalence levels of violence.
In order to prevent this, is this something that you see should be tackled at a grassroots level, or is it something because you have the great laws in South Africa? So, what are some actual concrete ways that you could prevent this there?
Gender-based violence is obviously a very complex social problem, and I think that there are lots of different avenues in order to address it. And so what we do at LVA is we divide our work into two main kind of approaches, like a two-pronged approach. We do some prevention work. So we are working in the community, we're working in the schools, we're running workshops and trying to identify and address some of these harmful enactments of gender that we think contribute to gender-based violence. But also then, and it's so necessary, is we do our second prong would be then our response. Yes, it would be great if, you know, if there were no more gender-based violence, but the reality is that ideal is, who knows, decades or generations away. And so in the meantime, there are real victims of violence every day who need support services. And so a lot of LVA's work, when we help clients get protection orders, when we support them in their criminal cases. And so a lot of that work is just kind of the nitty-gritty of following up with the investigating officer. Is the case going through? You know, has the victim been updated on the status of her case? You know, what statements are outstanding? When does she need to go to court? Is she supported when she's at court, engaging with the prosecutor? Does everybody know what's going on in the case? And that's a lot of the work that LVA does in order to try and help the justice system work the way that it's supposed to work.
So, is there anything that you would like to add for our listeners throughout the continent?
Oftentimes, in environments like this, you use the word desensitized to hearing these graphic stories. I think what happens more often than not is that when prevalence levels are so high, then violence becomes normalized. And when the violence violence is normalized, or if it's something that you are witnessing or you've experienced yourself, then that's something that only perpetuates the violence. At a very grassroots level, you know, one of the very first steps is for people to really, even either in their own situation or to come together as a community, to stand up against violence and to support then victims of violence. Because what we've seen and what we've experienced is even sometimes the pressure and the secondary trauma comes from people that you would expect to support you. So let's say, you know, a victim discloses sexual violence or an abusive relationship, and the person that they disclose to then tells them, don't talk about it, don't tell anybody, just like handle it yourself, you know, keep this to yourself, instead of coming alongside them and supporting them. So one, support victims of violence that you know, and two, to stand together as a community and to say that this actually isn't okay, even though it is so normalized.
That's all the time we have today. Thanks for listening to Global Focus. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. Until next time.